Dr. Plucker. Would you start out by describing for us just what is the excellence gap?
The excellence gap essentially is the advanced equivalent of what we've been talking about in this country for the past decade in terms of achievement gaps. There's really the difference between better performing groups and groups that aren't performing as well, but at the advanced level as opposed to the minimum competency level.
What does that excellence gap mean for children with gifts and talents?
Well, I mean, in general, I think the country has two distinct problems. The first is that we just don't have nearly the percentage of students that we should scoring at advanced levels on any of our assessments. This is true with the international assessments, national assessments, state assessments. On most tests, it's 5 to 8% of students. That's far too low for this country. But then the excellence gap comes into play in that the higher performing groups, say white students, students from greater means, are really scoring at levels that are much, much higher than the underperforming groups. Minority students, poor students, students who don't speak English fluently yet. Those gaps are not only big, they're widening. And that's a huge concern because the underperforming groups unquestionably are really the fastest growing groups of students that we have. So we really are in danger of creating what I've been calling lately sort of a permanent excellence underclass. That's bad for the country in so many different ways. We've really got to start tackling.
From what you're saying, could we be satisfied with how well our white students are performing?
Not in any way, shape, or form. In some grade levels, early to mid-elementary, even our white non-poverty students, their performance is getting a little better. It's not nearly where it should be. In some other areas, say grade 8 reading in areas like that, the performance of even our best performing students is really mediocre, and we've got to get everybody up.
Speak up. Me.
Okay.
What does the excellence gap mean for historically underrepresented groups?
Well, I think that's probably the best example I can give in terms of essentially, the question is, what does it mean to be on the bottom of the gap? And I just don't think people realize how low the bottom of the gap is in many states. And you have some states that have a majority of students, say, are Hispanic and Black. In most states now, there's around 50% who are from poverty backgrounds. The percentage of students in those groups who score advanced on some of these tests essentially rounds down to zero. Now, that is just, I mean, we're losing all this talent from those groups. Getting all those kids to minimum competency, absolutely important. That's really not going to change their lives that much. These are really talented kids, and we need to get them as far as we can. 0% is hardly the level that we should be at.
0% is unacceptable.
Truly. Unacceptable. I mean, really, where is the outrage? That percentage is so abysmally low. It really is embarrassing.
What are and could decision makers be doing to address the excellence gaps?
I really do think that there are longer-term interventions that we need to be talking to policymakers about, and there's definitely shorter-term interventions. I think that the most important short-term intervention is that we need to get policymakers to ask questions about policies like they do for special education. And really, there are two questions there. The first being, how is this specific policy going to impact advanced students? And the second, which I think is even more important, how is this particular piece of policy going to get more students into that advanced level? How do we get that 0% 5%, 10%, 25%. If we can just get policymakers to start asking those questions, we're going to have a really nice foundation to start solving this problem.
Those questions seem really important to me, that decisions being made at the school level could ask those as well as district level or state level.
Yeah, yes. At every single level of policymaker, from the department chair to the president of the whole country. We have to be asking these questions.
Do you have anything you'd like to add to this short discussion of the excellent staff?
No, it just it's one of those topics where I think a lot of people say that I'm just going to let other people worry about it. We just can't afford to do that anymore. We've done that for decades. It has not worked. The problems are getting worse. Everyone has to figure out how they can plug into this process, and then we're going to start making some slow progress.
Seems to me that it's both personal loss and societal loss.
Absolutely. There's no question there's a huge economic price that we're paying. We can't have the largest segment of our future citizens have massive amounts of underdeveloped talent. There's no way we can even stay a developed country if that happens. This clearly needs to be fixed. At the same time, a lot of us are doing this because we see the price that kids pay when their talents are really stultified. And so that there is very much a personal component to this.
Thank you.
Anthony, you're very welcome.